I'm going to keep them for a minute. I need them for a moment. All right. It is so good to see all of you here this morning. As I was studying Psalm 146 and Luke 1:46 to 55, the song kept coming to my mind. And in my community, I go for a walk. I try to go for a walk every day. And I will meet other people along the way. And this song just was in my head, and I don't know how many people heard me singing it and humming it, and they probably think I'm a little strange, but and maybe I should have stopped to teach them. But when after studying these verses, I was just like, this song came to my mind. So it's called My God is So Big. How many of you remember that song from childhood? So the girls that we practiced this morning, they said they would help me. So join in if you know it. And I hope that you know it. Okay, so it goes, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His, the rivers are His, the stars are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. I hope that sticks with you all week long. Thank you for helping me. I found it very powerful in Psalm 146, verses 5 and 6. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, and the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. My God is big. There's nothing He cannot do. Anyone who trusts completely in the Lord is truly blessed. Stuart Perwin wrote, "The Lord is an almighty God. As the creator of the universe, next He is a faithful God who keeps truth forever. Further, He is a righteous God, a bountiful God, and a gracious God." My God is so big. Knowing the Lord to be the creator of the universe, we can be comforted in knowing that lasting help comes from God. We can always turn to Him in times of need. He gives us hope. God does indeed keep the truth from age to age. How else would the book of God have lived? And that's a quote from John Laurinaitis. Verses 7 and 8. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The importance of acknowledging our mighty Lord can be recognized in that just in those five lines, His name is mentioned five times. Our Lord takes care of those who submit to Him. We should be willing to ask for help. Do you remember from a previous sermon when I was talking about tent building? When the tent falls down upon us, what do? We need to crawl out from under that tent and ask God for help. He will give you hope. We need to practice humility, knowing that God of Jacob is our helper and provider in times of spiritual needs and even in times of physical helplessness. Jesus lives the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He never changes as we continue to trust in Him. Psalm 146, verses 9 and 10. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But He frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. God has a great love for those who wander aimlessly, lost, and those who wander to share about their faith with others. He has a peculiar love for those who are lost, and He puts people in their way to give them hope, those that trust in Jesus Christ. Life during times of the Old Testament had proven itself to be very, very difficult if the home did not have a father. And God has always encouraged others to care for the widows and the fatherless. And we are encouraged to give thanks for all that we have and then to care for those who are less fortunate than ourselves. And I just feel this year is amplifying that many times over. Those who are filled with sin will have their worlds turned upside down. Those who put their trust in God will be happy praising Him. God is worthy of our love and of our praise. Our Lord reigns forever. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is worthy of our praise, and His promises are always fulfilled. He is our hope. Janine and Linda read from these verses from Luke as well as Psalms this morning. Luke 1, 46 to 55 is called Mary's Magnificat. It's also called Mary's Song, and it is called the Prayer of Mary. Magnificat is to glorify. It means to glorifies. And Mary gives glory to her Lord who fulfills His promises. I can remember thinking my whole life, Mary must have been scared. And then she felt safe, and then she might have been nervous, and she might have been hurt by how people spoke of her or how what people thought of her. And then she might have been upset having to travel on a donkey back to Bethlehem. Like, I can remember just thinking when I thought about Mary, stress, like what a wonderful event, and yet she may have been filled with stress. But the more I studied this, and read it and listened to other theologians or read their reports about her, at this time when she was visiting her cousin in Judah, she was filled with joy. And Elizabeth was filled with joy. They were both pregnant at the time. Mary, at age 14, was rejoicing in the knowledge that God was her Savior. She had felt the baby moving before they knew. They were supposed to be feeling the child moving inside of her body. Her soul was proclaiming the greatness of the Lord. Again, at 14, she had total trust in God. She knows that her child will be the Messiah and that her enthusiasm about having this baby will just continue to grow and she will continue to feel blessed. She studies the Gospels with her cousin, and she finds strength in learning of the gifts that God shares with us. She shares about being eager to be God's servant. She has found hope, and she has found joy. We all should seek to be have a servant's heart. God makes us His children, and that changes our lives forever. We know that mercy is greater than pride. God is merciful, and He means for His word to be taken seriously. When God changes your life, people see it. Your family's lives will be changed, and you will have an impact on all those around you when you accept Christ as your Savior. A study note in the Bible for these verses is, the coming of God's kingdom will bring changes affecting every area of life. Mary completes the psalm with an assurance that God will be true to His promises to His people. And at this time in this world, we truly need to hold on to that and know that to be the truth. So here are the words of Mary's Magnificat. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. So in this psalm, there is just such a song of joy and hope, and beautifully stated by Mary. As I was researching and digging deeper, I found a story about the Big Dipper faith. Anybody know what the Big Dipper faith is? Okay, it's new to me too, but I found it quite interesting. It's from a book called If You Could See as Jesus Sees, written by Elizabeth Oakes. So Elizabeth, she writes, if you could see as Jesus sees through his lens of blessing, how would it affect your relationship with others? My friend recalls the time when she was recovering from a bout of depression. Feeling better, says her friend, I started to walk in the early morning hours. The neighborhood I lived in was in close proximity to a lake. There was also a bit of scenery, and as I walked down the street toward the lake, the Big Dipper looked as if it was sitting on the horizon on its side. I am a very visual person, and as I walked down the middle of the street in the dark, I would hold my arms up over my head, and I would talk to God. I prayed out loud for him and the Holy Spirit to please give me whatever blessings I would need, and just what I need for today. I would pray this same prayer for each of my children and family members and those that were on my list. And then I would visualize these blessings just pouring out of that Big Dipper and pouring down through the atmosphere and landing on my loved ones. Every morning, that Big Dipper provided this incredible visualization for my prayers. One cloudy morning, as I walked down the street, the Big Dipper was not visible on the horizon. I stopped in my tracks and I shouted out while standing in that middle of the street, this is what faith is about, believing in things that you can't see. Okay, God, I know that the Big Dipper is in the sky. I just can't see it. And I know that the blessings you have for me today will still pour out and flow down on me and my loved ones. And from that moment forward, I have talked to everyone I know about to share with them about Big Dipper faith. The author, Elizabeth, goes on to question the reader, to question us, if you could see as Jesus sees, not through your lens of burden, but through his lens of blessing, how would it affect your relationships? Would you respond with more compassion and empathy? Would you pray more passionately for others? Jesus' brother wrote about the oppression of the poor in the book of James. He knew how situations could quickly change for the people living within his community. We all have trials in this ever quick and changing crazy world that we live in. God uses these times to lead and guide and continuously teach us. James encourages resisting retaliation, resisting resentment in times of oppression. Our Lord is encouraging a Big Dipper faith, as he knows that God keeps his promises. From James 5, verse 7 through 11. James 5, 7 to 11. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crops, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. We can be at peace knowing God is true to his promises. We can hold on to hope. The judge is standing at the door is a reference to Christ's second coming. James speaks to us, to our hearts. Trust in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. Be patient, as the Holy Spirit will help you with this patience. I like to call that staying power. God is always with us. Every area of our lives should be pleasing to God. May our lives bring glory to Jesus Christ, our Lord. May we continue to walk in hope as we prepare for Jesus' birth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you alone are worthy of all praise. We thank you for the sense of peace that we can feel as there is hope in our hearts for our world. We bless your name as we prepare to celebrate your birth. You are the giver of all good things, and the Bible says that you will never withhold any good gifts from your children. May we use these gifts to continue to glorify you. We trust you to take care of us all the days of our lives. In your precious name we pray. Amen.